Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Well, welcome to St. Charles River Church, and if this is your first time attending, we do have an insert inside our bulletin. We ask that you would fill that out and place it in the offering basket when it comes around at the end of service. We are honored that you are here, and if this is your first time that you've been here in a while, we've got a few folks around here like that, so I'm sure we'll talk about them in a minute, but all in love, of course. But we are so honored that you are here as in St. Charles River Church, is worshiping and honoring God. And we thank you so much for being here. And we have Pastor Barry come up.
Amen. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Everybody repeat after me. This is the day.
This is the day.
You can do better than that. Everybody repeat after me. This is the day.
The Lord is made.
I will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, that's better than that. Let's make a declaration. This is the day. The Lord has made, and I will rejoice. I will rejoice, and I'll be glad in it. And there's nothing. Why'd you get softer? There is nothing that can take it away or stop me. Today, speak to me, my Creator, my Defender, my Savior, speak to me. Make it personal. Transform my mind, my spirit, and my soul. By your power, by your name, the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Come on, give him your best. Don't ever come into the Lord's house with your second best. Give him your best. Give him your best. This is the day. It's a declaration. The enemy can't take that away from you. This is a declaration. Go ahead and have a seat just for a second. Just for a second. Because I want to introduce a very precious friend of mine. I have known this guy for years. Cut his hair and there are three guys now where Pastor Mike go that I've actually cut your hair in the room. Jimmy goes back. He was 12 years old when I first met Jimmy. You all know Jimmy. This guy, yeah, I love Jimmy. Everybody, we own Jimmy. But this guy, this is his first time attending St. Charles River Church. Would you welcome my great friend, Scott Collette? Buddy, we are glad you're here. Glad you're here. We've been to ball games together. We've had some great conversations through the years, laughed hysterically. Been there for each other in those tough moments. He was there when my brother was killed in 87. We've known each other a very, very, very long time. And so we are precious. God, our friendship is precious to both of us. And, dude, I'm so glad that you're here, man. It's awesome. We exist for a purpose. Y'all know that. We exist for a purpose. Christ proved his purpose when he came. What did he say? His words, not mine. I came to seek and to save that which is lost. Pretty big purpose, don't you think? Well, let me just share this real quick too. There's someone else or a couple of people very special in the room today, and you probably haven't seen them because the lights are low. We're going to take care of that in a second. Would you welcome our great youth pastor, Eric Rios and Shelley are in the house. Woo! We are glad, dude. We are glad you are in the house, man. We love it. Welcome home. Welcome home. I'm telling you, give me a chance, buddy. You will be busy. I love you guys. Thank you. Tell the girls and the guys we love them with all of our hearts. We're so excited, man. Welcome home from the bottom of our hearts. Can't wait. Love to see you a lot more. If the Sundays permit, this is home to you. It'll always be home. We love you guys. So, yeah, give them another hand, guys. Two weeks ago on a Tuesday, some of you actually drove up to Columbia to celebrate with this couple. I'm going to ask Pastor Mike and Carmen Alexander. And Carmen loves coming onto the platform. I know she does. So I'm going to ask Pastor Mike and Carmen to come on up. He's going to escort his bride up here. And they're going to come up for a second. And I just want to congratulate them on what I know is a huge moment. I want you to notice something in the pictures. Carmen always looks wonderful. No matter what Carmen is wearing, Carmen always looks wonderful because it's Carmen. She just looks wonderful. I do want you to thank you. Someone else, thank you for shouting out that. Thank you. Carmen deserves that. But I want you to notice that Pastor Mike is in a suit. There are two times I've seen Pastor Mike in a suit. One was at a funeral. And what's that tell you about this picture? The second time is at an Assembly of God event of the Northern Missouri District. So it tells you that it is a special occasion, not a funeral. Anyway, there were several that night in Columbia, Missouri at Christian Chapel that received a distinct honor. The Assemblies of God, I love the organization I'm ordained with. We are an independent church. We are a non-denominational church, but we are affiliated with the AG. And I am ordained through the Assemblies of God, and I know what that took. That took years of study. That took years of testing. That took years of sweating and promising Gina, I'm not going to take one more test. I'm not taking one more. When I received my certified level, I said, that's it. That's all I need. I am not taking one more level. And the Spirit of the Living God says, and you don't quit on me either. Let me just call you on up here if you're done growing. I went to the second level. I know that second level well. It's the license level. The license level is, it's another 9 to 11 courses. Lots of testing and lots of sweating out interviews. Remember the interviews. I warned them, there are two people you don't want to be interviewed by. And I've actually told the man to his face at the district, I never wanted to be interviewed by you. I said, everybody and his brother and his sister sweats every time they're sitting in a room with you. And he says, you got to be kidding. I said, no, you're rough, man. You are rough. Anyway, he's a great brother, but he is a great friend, actually. I won't give his name. Anyway, because this is on YouTube. So then there's the ordination level. Another 9 courses, another 9 set of tests and ordination and an interview and all kinds of stuff. What you guys, the journey you are on is an amazing journey. It is an amazing journey. By the time you already have your degrees, but by the time you graduate out of the global university, you will have the equivalent to another bachelor's degree in ministerial studies. This is a disciplined time in their lives. It's huge. It's huge. And they're already raising grandkids and busy enough. Eli, why aren't you up here, buddy? Oh, then you're obedient. That's why you're not up here. That's good. Love you. So I just want to announce that a week ago Tuesday, April 25th, 2017, Pastor Mike and Carmen are now Assemblies of God ministers recognized throughout the world. They can go anywhere, connect with any church. They are recognized and they are covered as a statement of credibility by the Assemblies of God upon Pastor Mike and Carmen. It's the only time you'll ever hear me call him Reverend Mike and Carmen Alexander. You got a mic? There you go. White mic. There you go.
On first. There, now it's on.
There it is.
John was a good boy. He turned it off to save the batteries. That a boy, John.
You may have a seat.
Oh, thank you so much, Pastor Barry. And the journey is we're on the second level now. We're working on the second level. I had class yesterday, as a matter of fact, and it was kind of tough because I've been sick all week and I had to go to class and take a test. And I mean, nothing was, getting through, but if you let God do it,
that's right.
It works. God, right. God takes care of it. So, I thank you all for your support. And as I said a couple weeks ago, and it's an honor to be able to serve here and for Pastor Barry having to the faith and trust in me and following what he felt was the leading of God to do this. And this morning I was, I'll do a little commercial for the men's coming up Tuesday night. We're starting to, study on the Louis Giglio book, The Comeback, and it's a 6-week study. So I was watching the video this morning for the first session, and he talked about Moses and the calling that he had. You know, Moses was, he said, at 80 years old, he thought he was done with whatever he was going to do. He was, he was just out taking care of things and didn't think he was going to be called. And then God appears to him in a burning bush and has more work for him to do, work that took another 40 years. So I was thinking, okay, I'm 56 years old right now. See, when I get done with this, I'll be 58, 59. And then, because I thought, oh, man, that's old. no, it's not. Pastor Harvey, thank you. Yeah, that's not old at all. No. But, you know, it's because I really never thought this opportunity would even be possible. Right. And it is only possible because God made it possible. So, I'm just thankful and honored for this opportunity. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. Marie. Amen. Congratulations, man. Love you guys. Proud of you. Proud of you. Hey, proud of you. Thank you. All right, everybody, get ready to get into the Word. Okay, 13 of you. Okay, I said, everybody ready to get into the Word?
Yes.
This is not quiet zone. Okay, everybody gets that, right? Let me just tell you the truth. God is in the house.
Amen.
First half caught that. I said, God, let me speak to the back half. God is in the house, guys.
Amen.
He is in the house. And if you grab a hold of that truth, and if I will grab a hold of the truth, God is in the house. By the way, God's in your house every day. And if we'll get that truth, if we will get that truth, our homes will change. And I want to talk to you about changing our homes today. Not just specifically our homes, but it's transforming our lives by this process that God lined out in His Word. We are wrapping up today, just so you know, if it's page 3 in your bulletin, we are wrapping up today the Scriptural Truths series. I'm going to combine the 8 diamond, and by the way, they're numbered by diamonds. The 8 and 9 diamond, I'm going to combine them today. And so I'm going to read it to you, and I'm going to put them together, and I want to talk with you about the power of transformation for your life and for my life. The 2 diamonds, I'll read them to you if you don't have a bulletin. We believe that God wants to heal and transform us so that we can live healthy. Everybody know it's God's will for you to live a healthy life? Everybody believes that, right? Not just physically, but spiritually healthy, mentally healthy. There are times where we are challenged today. We know more today about mental health than we've ever known. We understand today more than we have ever known about mental health. What used to be a diagnosis of crazy is now a brain chemically related diagnosis, and it can be healed or it can be treated successfully. What we know today is very different than what we used to, even as Assemblies of God or charismatic or spirit-filled churches. Some might label somebody actually demonically possessed 100 years ago, and the truth is they probably had some level of mental illness at some great level. I've seen the effect of mental illness. I've had family members that have experienced true mental illness. And I didn't intend to stay on this, but I want you to know something. Christians are not exempt from mental illness. And we can fight our way through it by denying that there are issues that we have to deal with at times. Or we can actually say to ourselves, you know what? If I broke my leg in this auditorium today, I promise you, there's at least 4 good men or 6 strong women that would come and take you to the hospital and not let you leave until there's a cast on your leg, because that bone of yours needs to be treated well so that it can heal well. And yet, honestly, I wasn't going to say all this. I really wasn't, but I really feel impressed and empowered to say this. We need to embrace the idea that when our chemical imbalances take place, whether it's in ourselves or as we get older, do you know that does take place? Did you notice everything sags as we get older? Well, everything falls down in level of grade of health. And so I want to address the fact that whether it's mental or emotional or physical, we or spiritual. God wants us to be healthy. Amen. That is His plan, and I'll go on and read. That's all I'll say about that. Maybe not. Maybe I will. We believe that God wants to heal and transform us so that we can live healthy and prosperous lives in order to help others. What was the motive? In order to help others more effectively. The number nine diamond says, we believe that our eternal destination of either heaven or hell is determined by our response to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, how in the world are you going to tie those together? It's all about decisions. Okay, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And if you know the word very well, you know exactly what I'm about to read. Here we go. It's the NIV. God has a desire to transform us. Again, everybody say, God loves me just the way I am. He just doesn't want me to stay that way. So no matter where you are in your journey, right, Earl? No matter where we are, God wants us to grow from that. It's like what I shared with you. This is a true story. What I told God, no more courses. 11 is enough. That's enough. I was studying from midnight to 3. That was my normal study time because we had the girls and we were raising the girls. Mary Ellen was the girls' teacher during all those years. That's actually the time I was doing my study. And I mean, from midnight to 3 o'clock in the morning, I would do my study. I would read the books. I would do my study and take my tests. And then you'd have to do a 4 to 6 hour test to get each level of credential and then go through sweating 2 hours of interviews for them to say, okay, you know what I mean, Pastor Mike, right? You've been through 2 levels now, right? You guys both, you understand what I'm talking about. I said, no. And God says, you're going to quit on me? You're going to quit growing on me. I said, man, you sound like Rex, God. It was Rex's voice I was hearing. Sounds a lot like God's voice. I just want you to know. If you don't know Rex, I'll tell you about him later. He's my spiritual mentor, my pastor. This is God's will for each of us, from wherever level we are today, to not be there tomorrow, but to actually be taking spiritual steps. Physically, whether we need to go to a doctor, a physical doctor, or some kind of counselor, whatever, always moving forward in our health lives, that's the will of God for us. It starts like this. Here we go. Romans chapter 12. Paul writing to the church at Rome, was always, if you ever noticed, almost all of his writings, he writes as a result of a problem he's heard about. Or something they've asked him about. How do we handle this? And First Thessalonians, he dealt with the issue of the second coming. Do you remember that? I think you read from that last week, didn't you? It was about the second coming. And he said the dead in Christ will rise first. Because he said, you know, the church leaders were saying, we don't know what to teach them about this. And there's a lot of people dying, believers that are dying. What's going to happen to the dead when he comes back? Are they going to miss him? And he gave instruction on, okay, this, according to the Lord's own word, this is what the Lord taught, and he gives this whole litany of things that are going to happen. The dead in Christ will rise first, and those who are alive and remain will be caught up to meet the Lord together in the air, and will be with him from that day on. So the Apostle Paul was about fixing issues, or sending instruction for issues, whatever church he was writing to. This was the man, by the way, if you think you're not qualified to be a Christian or a leader in the church, this is the man that killed Christians and tortured Christians. He ordered the stoning of Stephen, the great Stephen. If you don't think you're worthy, you're right where God wants you to be. Because we're not worthy. But we're called. And we're anointed, according to Isaiah 61. We're anointed and we're appointed to preach good news. What did we talk about last week? It's with purpose, right? So we're going to jump into Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Understand, he's just written 11 chapters about the mercies of God. 11 full chapters, the writer writes about the mercies of God. And I mean, he just pounds and pounds the Roman church. They needed mercy. Do you remember the seven churches in the Book of Revelation series that we did at the beginning of the year? Have you ever noticed, if you follow the pattern, as he writes to those churches, the further the churches got away from Jerusalem, the further they got away from their walk with God. Until there was an apostate church. It was a spiritless church. Had this This form of godliness, denying the power therein, is what Paul John actually described when he was writing it. And so, just so you know, this is the church at Rome that struggles a lot. And yet, it's still the church at Rome. And he says, therefore, that transition word, here's what he said. Look, after me sending you all of that information about the mercies of God, this is what he says. Therefore, or as a result, that's what he says, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, in the view of everything I just wrote to you. He didn't write it in chapters, by the way. We all know that, right? It's a letter. It was much later broken down into verses and chapters and stuff. So it's a letter. He says, in the view of what I've written you, I plead with you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Everybody say sacrifice.
Sacrifice.
He wants us to be a people of sacrifice and of servant nature. He wants us to look at each other with such compassion and see each other so differently than what we used to. I was meeting with John the other day. John and I, we're just buds. We go back and we've been buds. And we're having dinner the other night at Texas Roadhouse, eating a steak. And we were talking about this whole thing of this viewing people in with compassion. Can I tell you something? I've been in a lot of great churches in my life. I have never been in a more compassionate church than St. Charles River Church. And as God is my witness, I tell you that with my hand on this book. As an oath to you, I've never seen a more compassionate. I've seen compassionate people in every church, but I've never seen as a whole a more compassionate church than this church. And this is what Paul is addressing when he says that we're to present ourselves a people of mercy in the view of God's mercy. He said that you to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. I mean, literally dying to ourselves and living completely unto the nature and under the teachings of God. He says, this is holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. King James really gets down. Hey, what it boils down to is, this is your only reasonable response. After all the things I told you about God's mercy, the only reasonable thing, in fact, what he's kind of saying is, anything you do other than this is unreasonable. It's the only reasonable act of worship. The only thing that God will accept is that we present ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Didn't say holy and pleasing to other people. Because anybody can look holy. And everybody, you can fool people so long. That's the truth. But you cannot, and I cannot, fool God. Holy and pleasing unto God. This is your only reasonable act of worship. Did you notice that? Paul actually calls it worship. It's a lifestyle, a servant nature, lifestyle of worship, a continual worship. When you feed a child, when you feed a child in an orphanage, you've worshiped God. How do I know that? Because Jesus said, when you do it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. That's what Jesus said. Anything we do to serve other people, it's an act of worship. Have you ever been in a restaurant and the Spirit of God speaks into you, or you had heartburn or something, and you just sense, I know I'm supposed to pay their bill. There's a family over there, I'm supposed to pay their bill. And when you pay their bill, there's this sense of God's pleased with what I just did. Why? Because it's an act of worship. It really is. It's an act of worship. We are so contained. I was raised in the Assemblies of God, where worship had a look to it. Worship had a look to it. And it had a voice to it. Have you ever noticed the whole... No, I won't go there. I can't go there. It is on YouTube. Pastor Harvey. I look over, Pastor Harvey's going... Okay, he's my gauge. But it had a look to it. It had a sound to it. Pastor Mike and Carmen were right in front of that sound the other night. Had a whole row of presbyters sitting behind them. He said they were in fine form. I said, oh yeah, there's a look to it. There's a sound to it. That's how you worship. You lift up holy hands and the voice warbles. And you, I mean, there's a look to it. There's a sound to church and to church preaching. And that's why Tom was the only, y'all know Tom that died a few years ago. He was on our missions trips. He was Tom Donovan. He's the only one I allowed to ever call me preacher. Ever. I don't want to be called preacher. Never. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, just like you. But the greatest honor that God could ever put on me, besides the word husband and the role with Gina as her husband and the father of our children and grandchildren, is pastor. That's the greatest honor to ever hear that. So, there's this whole transfer that I was raised in the Assemblies of God where it had a look to it. And when I started actually reading the Bible for myself, I found out worship looks different than that. God is not impressed with our coming in and having, you know, whether we're jumping in the spirit or walking, whatever we're doing. God's not impressed with that. That's a human response to joy. And it's great, by the way. It's a great response. But what God is impacted by is the servant nature of every believer. That we present our bodies a living sacrifice. Barry, what's that got to do with heaven or hell, the ninth diamond? I'm getting there. It's all about choices that we make along the way. It's all about seed sowing that we sow along the way. Because God's word says if we sow a seed, we're going to, what? Reap a harvest. He goes on to say, do not conform. Uh-oh. We're getting into the instruction time. We're getting into the construction time. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Do you notice how he said that? Do not conform any longer. You're doing what you ain't supposed to be doing, is what he's saying to the church at Rome. Stop doing what you're not supposed to be doing. You know better than that. Stop conforming any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It starts in decision making. The battle's not in the heart. The battle is in the mind. God's word says that we're drawn into sin by our own lusts. It's not from, you know, what was it, Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. Well, the devil made me do it. No, the devil had nothing to do with it other than he provides the temptation or but let me tell you something. If you honestly believe the devil could make you do something, you don't know who you are. You're a child of God, bought and paid for, spirit filled, mind is renewed. We got no clue who we are when we think the devil can make us do something. And by the way, he tempts us with what we let him know we're weak in. He watches us. He sneaks around, seeking, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He prowls. He watches our weakness. And when he sees somebody in front of us, And we see a wallet hit the floor. He watches us. He watches us. He's not omnipotent. Everybody know that, right? Satan is not omnipotent. Only God is omnipotent, knows all things. Satan is limited in his knowledge, and he watches you and me. And when we see the wallet, and we go, hey, sir, or ma'am, come back here just a second. Here, you drop this up. Chances are you don't have a weakness to cash, or you don't have a weakness to stealing. Or dishonesty. Or you have a strength and compassion. But guys, and especially guys, but can I tell you, I've been around girls too. When a good looking so-and-so walks by you and you go, ooh. He knows. He's got the idea, the hints there. And I hope we don't do that out in public. But I've been around people that were that stinking obvious in their public display. I'm serious. And then that's the first look. By the way, that whole thing, you got one look, really? Really? I mean, it's the notice look. Yeah, I get that. But that one look could last 5 minutes. The word says, don't do that anymore. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by my mind. And listen, can I tell you, it is a daily process. It is a daily process. I have to take blood pressure medicine every day, yet I have faith for God to heal me. But I want you to know, when I don't take that blood pressure medicine, man, my face gets red, my head hurts, and if I don't take it long enough, I go into a migraine and I can do all this. I believe God's going to heal me. I believe God's going to heal me. All I want to, when he already said, but I gave you enough good judgment to go get the bottle off the sink. Y'all getting that? Says by this is your only reasonable service. Now, I got 3 minutes. Okay. Turn to chapter 8 of Romans, and I want to just read this to you. It's a little bit lengthy, but I'm going to go through it real quick. This is about life in the Spirit. That's what we're talking about today. Walking in the Spirit, life in the Spirit for the believer. And by the way, this is made very clear that this is for the believer. He contrasts back and forth. Notice the contrast of the two different lifestyles. He says, therefore, now again, remember what I said. This is all about choice. It's about choice. Either we choose Christ and the renewing of our minds, or we choose to live according to the pattern of this world, but we cannot do both. The word says we cannot serve two masters at one time. That's what God's word says. So we're going to choose this day who we're going to serve as a family, as an individual and as a family. Here we go. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. By the way, you don't have to be a guilty person anymore. That whole guilt thing, that's not born of God. That is not the voice of God that brings guilt. So it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Part of the law of sin and death is guilt, by the way. That is probably our greatest detractor from moving forward in our daily Christian walk, is remembering, it's our memory of what we did yesterday or what we said to someone yesterday. And that is one of the greatest distractors of our future, because we can't stop looking back and being angry or hurt at what we did, or maybe what someone else did, by the way. Here he says in verse 2, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by my sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. Everybody say once and for all. Once and for all. And so he condemned sin. Did you notice he didn't condemn man? He didn't condemn the sinner. It says he condemned the sin. David even says, he said, he bought my guilt. He bought my shame. I don't even own that anymore. That goes into the sea called forget as well. And so when a forgiven believer walks around with his head lifted up, he or she is actually being more scriptural than the believer who stays in mourning for months and months. And oh, what I did. I'm so ashamed. I don't deserve to be on the platform. No, none of us do. And that's not the point. The point is, he is that good. He condemned the sin. And when the believer puts their shoulders back and says, I'm forgiven, I can get my head up. What's the word say? David said, he is the lifter of my head. Y'all understand, this is about decisions we make. I have to decide every day, am I going to live in the shame? Am I going to live in the guilt because people remember I did that? Or are you going to actually trust that God meant what he said when he said, I have forgiven you and I have cast your sea as far as the east is from the west. It's never going to be counted on you again. Forget it. Let it go. Quit fishing. It's my sea, not yours. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Everybody say, he set me free. Say, he, Jesus, set me free. I don't have to behave like the pattern of this world any longer. You see, decisions I make determine my future. Just like the decision I made to sin determined my past, well, decisions I make today determine my future, including where I'm going to spend eternity. And either God means he forgives me and sets me free, or he's a liar. It's not me that's lying. I'm telling you what God said. Verse 9, you, however, are controlled by this, or not controlled rather, by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. Get that. Your body is dead because of sin. It doesn't have to do the things you're tempted to do anymore. Did you catch that? Your body's dead to the sin. It doesn't have to do it anymore. But the truth is, as a believer, we're still prone to temptation. And God's word still says that we're drawn into sin by our own lusts. So even believers, we have to control the battle of the mind. We have to win the battle right here. Repentance. Do you know the word repentance means a changing of the mind? It doesn't mean a changing of the heart. The word literally interpreted is from the Greek word, and it means a changing of the mind. It's how we think about sin. And we're sorry and repentant, remorseful over that sin. But in our spirit, we connect back with God and say, God, forgive me. And I'm just telling you, that quick. The Bible says that quick. It's gone. I mean, it is that, it is not a going into 6 months of mourning. Goes on to say, let me just finish this up. In verse 11, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation. Say, I'm obligated. Ooh, we don't like that one. We don't like that. Can I just make a statement to you and hear my heart? Because we only got about half the auditorium full today. I am obligated to you as your friend. I am obligated to you as a fellow believer, a fellow Christian, a fellow follower in Christ. I am obligated to you. Did you know that? Not because I'm your pastor, but I am obligated because I'm not employed. I know legally I am employed at St. Charles River Church, but I don't care about that. I am obligated to you as a brother in Christ. I am obligated to you, and you are obligated to me. Do we get that? I mean, as a brother or sister in Christ, we're obligated to each other. We owe each other our very best. It's the transitioning or transforming of our minds where I actually owe, I know I owe Timothy. I owe, and boy, we got our own Timothy here. And so I owe Tim. I mean, I owe this guy. I owe him. I owe Crystal. And Crystal and Tim owe us, and we owe each other. By the way, last week we were at a restaurant. I know that the seed has been sown and that it makes a difference. When my grandson walks into a restaurant and he sees his Sunday school teacher sitting in a booth, and he'd rather sit with her than me. He crawls up, he sits there, throws Timothy out of his seat. Big guy, you know, military guy, throws him out of his seat, and he takes a seat and he eats a fry out of Tim's. Hey, Mike, that's when you know we're impacting other families. When the third generation from the pastor's family crawls into your lap. Crystal, we're depending on you to love those kids and to teach those kids the gospel of Jesus Christ. It matters. Heaven and hell are in the balance with Sunday school teachers. Do we know that? I was taught by a Sunday school teacher when I was a child, when I was Kaysen's age, and I can tell you the impact that I know her name, Irby is her last name, that she had on me. I know that impact. And we're teaching these kids about a life in the Spirit and walking with Christ daily and growing in Christ daily. And Crystal's back there telling the stories of the goodness of God. And it's just so, and he comes home. I don't know if you did Noah recently or something, but he's talking about Noah. Now, there's another Noah that I know there's a Noah back there, but he drew a Noah and a boat. And he's 4. You see, guys, let me tell you, the greatest mistake we will ever make as human beings is to try and get our kids to serve God when they're about 10, 12, 15, 16. Now, when I say it's a mistake, do it. If that's when you start, you do it. But if the philosophy is, I'll wait till they get into trouble before I'll get them connected to a local church family that can do life with it, that is the mistake. Because it's got to be sown in early. The value that these pages transform my mind has to be sown in early. Early, at the earliest possible ages, learning what it is. I know you, Eli and Bella are always telling you guys stories about Jesus. And one day, you think it doesn't matter? One day, we're at a Super Bowl party. And Bella comes up to me, Pastor Bailey, I have a question. This is after the Super Bowl, and the guy that I didn't want to win, Brady, won. I know it was a bad day. It was a bad day. And so I'm walking across the grass, and Pastor Mike and Carmen's granddaughter comes up to me. Pastor Barry, I have a question. I said, okay, absolutely. And what have I taught? Mercy, kindness, compassion, love for people, love for people. I mean, real kindness and compassion and mercy. We love everybody. Jesus loves everybody. Jesus, to be a believer, a true follower of Christ, it's about loving. Jesus said that, not me. He said, this is how all men will know that you're my disciples, John 13, by the way you love one another. Get that? We believe that here, right? So she says, Pastor Barry, is it true that you hope that someone would fall on Tom Brady and break his leg? Oh, I said, oh, sweetie, no, I didn't say that. No, actually what I said was that someone would just break his little finger. I'm sorry. I said, how can you be a Christian if you want somebody to hurt people? And I looked at him, and I knew who the transporter of the information was. So I got down here and I said, sweetheart, I was wrong. Even Christians and pastors, sometimes they're not Christians, but sometimes even Christians and pastors can say things they shouldn't have said. Thank you for pointing it out to me. I am so sorry. I didn't want his leg broke. I just want you to know, I didn't want his leg broke. Her mind has already been transformed. She already got a standard. She's got a Christ standard. Did you get that? She's got a Christ standard out of the mouths of babes. Guys, that's the most precious correction I've ever had in my life. I could have just given her a big old hug. I just wanted to hug her. And then I wanted to say, Pastor Mike, don't ever quote me again. Don't ever quote me again. What happens at lunch stays at lunch, you know. Oh, my God. It's a renewing of our minds. It starts early. And I'm going to let you go here just a second. I want to finish this. Jump down to verse 16. The Spirit himself. Listen, just before that, verse 16, or I believe that's what it is. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are our children, then we are heirs. Everybody know that. I'm an heir. Say, everybody, say, I'm an heir. I'm an heir. We need to realize who we are. You're heir, Richard, to a Jewish throne. Brother, there's royalty that flows through your veins. I mean, you really are. I'm not just, I love Richard. I wouldn't tell him that if it wasn't true. But that's true. We are heirs. God's word says it. I get the lion's share. Remember? I get the lion's share, the lion of the tribe of Judah. I get that share because he's my God. He is my king. He's my Lord. He is my God. I get a lion's share, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Stand with me. You see, one day we're going to stand before God, and we will be assigned our eternal destination. And you see, it's not just a matter of I'm going to go to heaven or choosing I'm going to go to hell. I only knew one man in my lifetime that ever told me he wanted to go to hell. And I questioned his emotional state at the time. But the decisions we make on how we live are the decisions that make where we spend eternity. If we decide that we live in the Spirit and by the Spirit, we're going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ because he promises that. If we are determined that we're going to do it our way and somehow skate in at the last minute. And many do that, by the way. I really do believe in deathbed confession. Thank God for a deathbed confession. But you're never guaranteed that. Bow your heads with me for just a moment. I want to ask you quickly, are you living according to the Spirit? If you are living according to the Spirit, I'm not going to bring you up here. I'm not going to bring you forward. I'm not going to do that. I just want to ask you, if you're living according to the Spirit, you know that you are. But if you need today to get your life right with Christ before you leave this place so that you can actually make a difference, as Diamond 8 says, actually make a productive difference in other people's lives. If that's you and you know you need to give your life wholly and completely over to Jesus Christ today, and you've not done that yet, just no one's looking around, raise your hand. Pull it right back down. Let me see quickly. And thank you. Two hands. Thank you. Any more? Thank you. Three hands. Thank you. Anyone else? I just want to pray with you right where you stand. You can pull your hand down. Four hands. Thank you. Great decision, young man. That's awesome. Obviously, I'm never going to call a name out, but anyone else, you just really want to make sure before you leave here today that your life is right with Christ. Then I want everybody to repeat after me. Another hand. Thank you. Five. Thank you. One. Anyone else? Quickly. I want to make sure, because if you want to pray this prayer, in fact, everyone in this room, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And I mean everyone. Heavenly Father, today I confess I need a Savior. I want to give you my Lord. I want to give you everything. I want to give you everything, which is nothing. Everything I have is truly nothing. But I receive everything from you. The forgiveness and eternal life. Live in me. Breathe through me. Set me free from the law of sin and death to the law of righteousness, which brings freedom. And his name is Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a great hand, guys. You may be seated.
Accountability, 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 right? You're accountable, yeah. Class yesterday was on Romans. And a teacher I had, Charlie Hall, at First Assembly, dude is awesome. The guy knows the Bible. He knows the Word. And he's also a great teacher of it. It's not just a matter of knowing it. He can really sit down and teach it to you. So you have a little homework assignment, because he gave us a homework assignment yesterday, even though class was over. The last passage that Pastor Barry read, he said, I would ask you to go and study Romans 8. Study it. So I ask that you would take that challenge on as well. And ladies, I know you're in the middle of reading John too, but if you can find time, Romans chapter 8, take the time to study it. And I know Pastor Barry really didn't get to get into it as much as he would have liked to, but take the time to study that. And, and just let God speak to you through it. And it's not just a matter of reading it. Just read it and really absorb what God is saying. So thank you so much. So just, again, just how God works. He works it all together, doesn't he?
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.